You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hello and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. We'll be talking in a minute to Joe Fusaro, the Marlins beat writer for MLB.com. Matthew, the Marlins are a team that a lot of people thought had a lot of young talent coming into the season, probably didn't think they would be ready to compete this year, and certainly not after Jose Fernandez got hurt. But the Marlins are hanging right in there.
They keep hanging around, and to some extent, the division is, if not coming back to them, at least not running away from them. I mean, they acted like a contender at the deadline, and they're still in contention.
So, Joe, speaking of active at the deadline, Jared Cosart came over from the Astros, had a great start after being skipped with a back stiffness. How big a lift was that for the team to see him not only not be seriously hurt, but come back and pitch as well as he did?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was everything they were hoping for right there. You're going up against a guy like Adam Wainwright and against the Cardinals, who are, of course, established and trying to get to the same spot the Marlins are. Just stepping up in a big way. Showed a cutter, good breaking stuff, mixed pitches, worked both sides of the plate. Looked like a very polished kid for 24 years old and seemed to enjoy the spotlight and the challenge of trying to do his part on a team that's, you know, until someone says they're not in it, they're going to act like they are. So, you know, Cosart, great performance.
I guess so. You know, we always talk about you can never have enough, you can never have too much pitching. With Cosart pitching the way he did, Henderson Alvarez getting ready to come back, I guess the Marlins have that good problem of maybe a little too much pitching right now, and they're going to have to make some decisions.
Yeah, they are. Right now, they basically, if you line up, you know, Alvarez is coming off the DL, and they have basically lined up six starters but insist they're not going to go with a six-man rotation. So at some point when that rotation goes through, they're going to have to make a call on who either goes to the bullpen or whether they have a change of heart and try to spread some innings out for some of these young guys. But, you know, with the addition of Brad Penny, who gave a promising, if not overly impressive, first start in his comeback after 2 years, he's, you know, a guy that's going to seem to – we're going to have to find out what his role is in the next couple of days.
What exactly is the situation with Alvarez? Is his return imminent?
Over the weekend, is he's eligible to come off the first game of the Diamondbacks series. And, you know, they are not going to use him that day because they just want to give him another couple of days just to make sure. But they seem very confident in that he will be fine. But, you know, probably the way they're looking at Penny is, you know, make sure Alvarez is started is fine. Cosart, obviously, with his little lower back thing, didn't go on the DL but was skipped a start. You know, they had to keep their fingers crossed to see how he did. So I'm sure that's what they're kind of doing before they determined how the rotation's going to shape up. But, you know, a lot of hope that Alvarez comes back and pitches at the level he was at before he got hurt.
I know he hasn't been gone all that long, but is there any degree to which they'll be particularly extra careful with him when he comes back for even a start or two?
I would think so, but you never know. I mean, the emotions of the game, I mean, I was a little shocked that Cosart came out for a seventh inning when he was at 93 pitches after six, but he did and actually had a pretty good seventh inning as well. So, you know, when you're playing for something and the adrenaline's flowing, it tends to kind of make all bets are off in terms of the dugout and how they're thinking. But I'm sure if Alvarez, you know, being a guy that's, you know, not really a total veteran, but he's like 24, 25, been around a little bit, knows his body pretty well. I think they'd trust his instincts on how far he can go.
Joe, you see managers a lot early in the season be willing to experiment, as you mentioned, maybe not push a starting pitcher. Are you starting to see the Marlins act more like a team in contention, maybe, you know, not giving a slumping guy as long to get out of the slump, leaving starting pitchers in longer, that sort of thing?
Yes and no. I think Mike Redman as a manager is kind of transitioning there. I mean, he had a start where with Eovaldi recently, about 8-10 days ago, where Eovaldi and he and Brad Hand extended those guys into like an eighth inning, and it didn't go quite as well, and the lead kind of slipped away at that point. And I think he's, you know, some people question when we were in Cincinnati, when Hand in the fifth inning was laboring and, you know, whether they had a guy up, whether they should have made the move then, he left him in, he gives up a grand slam to Mesoraco and it blew the game wide open. So I think, he's kind of right there where obviously he brought a team in and developed, and now he's going to have to make the decisions of, hey, look, we got to pull the trigger. I don't care if he's qualifying for a win. He needs one more out. We need to win this game in the here and now. So I think they're kind of transitioning there. But, in answer to your direct question, there have been examples where that hasn't been the case.
Joe, Steve Cishek, hard for me to say, huh? Has been so good for this team for quite a long time. The last few weeks, he hasn't been quite as good. Still only 3 blown saves, but is how much of a concern is that? Do they view it as just a lull? Is there any thought to what plan B might be, or is this just something where they figure sometimes guys have rough patches?
I think that's what they're obviously hoping for in talking to Steve. He's, he says he's healthy. He's thrown a lot of innings, but, it's getting tougher for him, but he's got to pull through it. And they had a safe situation against St. Louis where they didn't go with Cishek. They went with Brian Morris, who's never had a save. He got 2 outs, was not able to get the matchup they liked, so they went with Mike Dunn. This is where the starting pitching is going to have to be really crucial, because if they could get those starters to 7 or 8, then, if they need to give Cishek a little bit of time, a couple of days before he figures it out or at least is rested, that allows an A.J. Ramos, a Morris, and Dunn, their 3 best, to be able to piece together however they want to close a game. But clearly, Matthew, you hit on the nail on the head. They're going to need Cishek if they want to get to where they want to go. And, there's a lot of hope that it's just that bump in the road. But, the irony is he was like the co-player of the week shortly before that, getting like 5 saves in a week. And but then, when you struggle and you don't have as many opportunities to save, that tends to happen as well, where you fall into a little bit of a lull. So the key is health, and if that's there, the sharpness on that secondary pitch as a slider is very crucial, and he isn't feeling that slider right now.
Joe, we still have a quarter of the season to go, so a lot of things can happen, but I was kind of amused. I guess we're at the Iowa caucus stage of the postseason balloting. Mike Redmond starting to campaign a little bit for Giancarlo Stanton as the MVP. He seemed to indicate that he thought that Giancarlo is not getting the recognition as a candidate that he deserves. Do you get that sense?
Well, I think where Red was coming from, he was watching one of those shows, I don't know which network it was on, and they mentioned Stanton as an afterthought, like, should we even be talking about him? And that he found that a little ridiculous, that it wasn't obvious. As you guys know, you sometimes down here, we feel like people aren't paying as close attention unless there's something, bad happening. So, for getting as much recognition for Stanton out there, and really, here's a team that, as you guys noted leading in, they've been without Jose Fernandez since, mid-May, and no one thought they'd be here. And why they are here, number 27 that plays right field is a huge, huge reason. And, cases and the people are here are starting to believe this guy is the best position player in the National League, or certainly one of, and, deserving of as much recognition as he can get. So, this team wants to retain this guy, and they want him happy, and they want him feeling he's getting his just due. So, it all factors into it, but, that's a manager sticking up for his player and, getting that word out. We see campaigns come for a lot of things in mid-August, and we're seeing it with Stanton as well.
Yeah, and I think how well the team does the rest of the way, too, will have a big impact on that. I know a lot of voters find it hard to vote for an MVP for a team that has, a losing record.
Yeah, but you're also looking at a team that lost 100 games last year that, everyone thought was going to finish in 5th place again this year, and, there's certainly examples. Joe Girardi got manager of the year on a team that didn't go 500 either, so... there are cases. It just looks like Kershaw. Obviously, he's going to be very much in line for that Cy Young. Been, he's got a lot of MVP support as well. So, it'll play itself out. But I think, even if the Marlins finish 81-81 or 80-82, it wouldn't be that far fetched in my book to say that he could be an MVP.
So it seems like the schedule presents a little bit of an opportunity here. After coming off series wins with the Reds and Cardinals, got a run here, Arizona, Texas, Colorado. Is this maybe the best opportunity they're going to have to make some hay in the division, especially the wild card races?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, Matthew. And the thing about this kind of reminds me a little bit of before the All-Star break when, you know, the Marlins had a good run, and then they were up against, you know, the Cubs and the Mets and teams with sub-500 and the Phillies, I think, at the time, sub-500 records, and they went, like, you know, 3-7 going into the All-Star break. You know, they're not good enough yet to say, you know, they take anyone for granted, but obviously if the schedule is going to present themselves with opportunity to do some damage and make a run, you know, they're going to have to seize it. And we're going to find out how good a team they are in these next, you know, 10 days as well against those type of teams, because they did show it when they went to Houston. You know, they seized the moment, got a sweep on that, and capped their, you know, best seven-game road trip in franchise history, you know, about a week or two ago. And, you know, they're going to have to seize the moment yet again.
Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. This is MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.